This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
What did President Trump do at that point? He went back to calling senators to try to further delay the electoral count. While the vice president was being evacuated from the Senate, President Trump called Senator Tommy Tuberville, one of his strongest supporters in the Senate. As Senator Tuberville later recalled, he had to end the call so that he could evacuate the Senate chamber himself. Let's listen.
He called, didn't call my phone, called somebody else, and they handed it to me, and I basically told him, I said, Mr. President, we're not doing much work here right now because they just took our vice president out, and matter of fact, I'm going to have to hang up on you. I've got to leave.
Senator Josh Hawley also had to flee. Earlier that afternoon, before the joint session started, he walked across the east front of the Capitol. As you can see in this photo, he raised his fist in solidarity with the protesters already amassing at the security gates. We spoke with a Capitol Police officer who was out there at the time. She told us that Senator Hawley's gesture riled up the crowd, and it bothered her greatly because he was doing it in a safe space, protected by the officers and the barriers. Later that day, Senator Hawley fled after those protesters he helped to rile up stormed the Capitol. See for yourself.
All right, Hawley, I think, is really bearing a lot of the brunt of giving the thumbs up to the Proud Boys and all the other groups that are out there and then running for his life, as it looked like. You could just see him hurriedly, and they highlighted that. He was caught red-handed on camera, obviously, doing that, encouraging, and then turning around and doing that. January 6th House committee hearings, televised, prime time, a lot of people talking about it from Fox to all the way on down to any network you could possibly think of as to what happened during those minutes, during that time, and hearing those clips that are played, and right there you heard Congresswoman Elaine Loria, who's a Democratic panel member from Virginia, saying Trump did not call to issue orders. He didn't call to offer assistance. What's your take? Give it to us. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. A lot of you reacted. I went through a mailbag segment earlier, and I'll give you a couple of other hot takes from you coming up here in a few moments. But thanks a lot, as always, for being here along the way, whether you're sweltering or not, to talk about what is affecting us in our nation, and there are a lot of things. January 6th hearing is part of the buzz, for sure, the virtual water cooler buzz, or maybe in person, because maybe you're back in an office. The border crisis, that's a blip on the radar screen, but frankly, I think it should be way more than that, but I've said this before. I spent time with the Border Patrol, and I've seen it firsthand, and it's disgraceful what we continue to ignore and have nothing clear-cut as to what's happening there. And then we have the president testing positive for COVID-19 and just following the protocols of that, but highlighting the fact that, yeah, more people are getting COVID-19 again. So as much as we want to see this in our rearview mirror, it's something we're all living with, but we're living with it, I think, in a much different way. And extreme heat wreaking havoc on roads, railways, and our bodies. People are tired of the brutal heat from Phoenix to Boston. I mean, you're used to this in the desert. I love my Arizona, but boy, you're getting it too. You're getting just smashed with crazy, crazy high, breaking the thermometer kind of heat that you don't want to be out in for long periods of time. Even D.C., they're saying, could be hit again with another 100-degree day, saying these streaks are crazy. So cities and rural areas and all kinds of places are just trying to come up with ways to keep people cool. It is about keeping cool in so many ways, isn't it? All right, here's some reaction. Here's a little bit more. Pretty much what you heard there is what is happening when it comes to the January 6th hearing. I'm talking about how long was it that the president resisted calls to calm rioters as Vice President Pence and his security feared for their lives. And what did we hear? Lots of clips and timelines. It was all about that. And you had the former Sarah Matthews, the former White House Deputy Press Secretary for Donald Trump, who said that his refusal to condemn the violence and act on January 6th is indefensible. She said that while she was relieved when Trump finally sent out a video to his Twitter followers that urged rioters to go home, the overall messaging left her disturbed. She resigned afterwards. And then, it was about these blips and highlights of interviews, including with the son-in-law of the former president, Jared Kushner, who said the House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy spoke with Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner as the attack on the Capitol was unfolding. Kushner told the committee in a video deposition that he got the sense McCarthy and those on the Hill were scared of the violence that had placed them in danger. Kushner said that he told me it was getting really ugly over the Capitol and said, please, anything you could do to help, I would appreciate it. And, because, of course, the committee focused on McCarthy's call with Trump and the exchange that they had. During the call, Trump told McCarthy that the rioters are more upset about the election than you are. The committee played audio of McCarthy speaking with news groups during the January 6th attack. He said in one of them that he conveyed to the president that what I think is best to do, and I'm hopeful the president will do it. So the House committee playing those clips, of the timeline of what happened. And the committee repeatedly said that Trump's tweets added fuel to the fire during the riot and have used their eighth hearing, because it was their eighth hearing, to stress that the former president's supporters were watching what he said as they stormed the Capitol. And that was the problem. So the reaction for many of you in this show, it's always a mixed bag, which I actually think is good because it's a snapshot of America. No one way is the right way ever, 100%. I mean, it's just not. Is anything 100% in life? Oh, I wish. So this from Sherman, who we didn't get to in this show's mailbag, but he sent something in, and Sherman said, Kate, I really do like Donald Trump, and I think sometimes he gets crucified by the left, 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 but that's how this game rolls in this country. It's just whack-a-mole, depending on who's in office. I think he was a guy that didn't want to lose. He's not used to losing. And so any of the comments, some of the comments that he made, I think are about not used to losing, what happened, and then also hearing from people that there were things that weren't done right when it comes to the election, so that just fueled the fire for him. But we still shouldn't have seen what we saw on January 6th. It was an abomination and a sad day in this country. Stay with us.
Are you prepared for more severe food shortages? It's likely that over the next year, serious food shortages will plague us. American farmers are dealing with insane diesel fuel prices and fertilizer shortages, which will lower crop yields. And that means your family's favorite foods will soon be in short supply while fetching sky-high prices. Inflation is the new normal, folks. It's time to act before things get even worse. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com without delay. You'll find ready-hour emergency food kits from My Supply Patriot Supply that last up to 25 years in storage. Each kit provides over 2,000 calories a day to keep your energy up. Order your emergency food kits today by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your food ships fast and arrives in unmarked boxes. Listen, there are ways to beat food shortages. When you're ready for real preparedness, make sure to look for Ready Hour Foods from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do you have those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.
Movie review, scary movies, hard-pressed to go and see a movie that I think is really good, scary, or just entertaining, quirky, whatever. It's usually slasher, and I don't like the slasher things. So is this movie, Jordan Peele's Nope, is it a good movie? It's like a sci-fi, or that's what I would call it, sci-fi thriller. And it kind of taps into our curiosity of UFOs, and it is good. It's good. I give it a thumbs up. If I give it a thumbs up, that's like a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10. And I'm going to say that, it's worth seeing if you like kind of sci-fi-ish movies that aren't just pure sci-fi, I guess, right? It is kind of like it's got that little thriller edge in it. And there's moments in this, I'll just say, that there's a scene with a monkey attack that's pretty raw. But not unbearable. But then the segue into what is fitting and what the whole thing is about, the Southern California horse rancher, and then the idea on how he handles this UFO situation. Daniel Kaluuya is amazing in it. I mean, he's so good in it. You know, just his acting, he's perfect character. And you know, bravo, well done. And also the way they portray just the way that you turn a corner and they portray the people in this area and how people are easy to let's say, take advantage of situations where they can make some money and gain a little fame and aren't really concerned that they could get sucked into a UFO. I don't want to really give away too much because I think that some of you will, you know, go and see it. So let's let you hear what the trailer is like. Yeah, here's a snippet of it.
Did you know that the very first assembly of photographs to create a motion picture was a 2-second clip of a black man on a horse? And that man is my great-great-grandfather.
Great.
There's another great-grandfather. But that's why back at the Haywood Ranch, as the only black-owned horse trainers in Hollywood, we like to say, since the moment pictures could move, yeah, skin of the game.
It's a bad miracle. They got a word for that.
Yeah, nah.
Daniel Kaluuya, excellent. Kiki Palmer and Jordan Peele, a great job. How does a guy who has such a great sense of humor, comedian, good timing, funny, how does he have this horror vibe? He just doesn't disappoint. And the movie is intriguing. It is. It's intriguing. And this trailer, I let you hear the trailer on purpose because it doesn't really reveal that much. And if you saw the clips of it, it wouldn't reveal that much. And you may have seen them because they're all over the tube. But, again, I would give this a big thumbs up. In the theater where I was watching it, everybody clapped. People clapped, you know, so they enjoyed it. It was all different ages, too, at the movies. It was younger, older, in-betweens, I call the tweeners. And people walked out talking about what they thought about it. And when you get people talk when they're still leaving the theater, yeah, that's pretty good. It's pretty good. It does make you think about the whole UFO thing. And so hats off to him. As I said already, I would recommend it if you have any inclination to go and see any kind of a sci-fi-ish, scary, because it's scary, movie, go for it, because you could definitely, absolutely, 100%, I think, dive into this one and really, really enjoy it. All right, a couple of quick thoughts that are not movie related. You know, movies are my great escape, and I admire the people that can pull stories together. And you know that because you hear authors on this show. I am also all about that. Coming up, a conversation with Wayne Griffin. He has like amassed the biggest Liz Taylor collection that I've ever seen. And I wanted the Hubs to see Liz Taylor as Virginia Woolf. And he's like, why did you make me watch this movie? She's crazy. It made no sense whatsoever. And that was digging into the archives of old movies before we were both alive. I said, this is what people were watching. They won a bunch of Academy Awards for this. But anyway, It is kind of a, it's not kind of, it is a fascinating convo with him because of what he, the treasures he amassed and how much she meant to him. And then actually they got to connect. I don't want to spoil it. So there's that conversation. Then we're going to talk to Ian James too, as well. I'm all about storytellers, right? Everybody has a story. I know all you have stories too. That's the deal. And we do have stories about how hot is it? Yeah, you know, boom, ba, boom. Fill in the blank as to how hot it is. It is hot. It feels well into the triple digits for more than 164 million people in the U.S. In Texas, I mentioned this in another hour, lots of wildfires that in fact have burned through 7,700 acres and destroyed a bunch of homes, sadly. And that's Chalk Mountain, great place I used to go to play golf once in a while when I was lucky enough, Possum Kingdom, and it's just bone dry. And look, you got high winds, bone dry vegetation. It's a perfect ingredient for destructive wildfires, and that's the sad aftermath of this whole thing. I mean, Chalk Mountain, it was beautiful, burning hot in Somerville County over there. And same thing when it comes to Possum Kingdom. So then you got firefighters who are working all over the place to try to do what they can to extinguish them. And, you know, it's, these take time to put out, and it's tough, and it's tough to see people. You say, you know, I lost my house, my parents lost their house, my uncle lost my house. You have families that are just, that live near each other, that are just being devastated by all of this, right? And in some of these, in the one area I mentioned, you talk about Chalk Mountain and Possum Kingdom, 115 firefighters, 30 different engines, 4 water tenders to try to put it out. You know, when you got 20-mile-an-hour winds and that humidity, it's fuel. It's fuel, and it's very, very tough to control. I mean, in Texas, and this is the same in other places, there are different levels of drought. They're experiencing 99%. That's how bad it is. So if you look at, like, Possum Kingdom Lake, that's about 70 miles west of Fort Worth. And 12 homes have just been destroyed, and acres and acres and acres. So they're trying to dig those containment lines around the fire's leading edge. That's the best way to do that, to try to nail this sucker and get it out before more people lose homes, etc. But looking at a map, boy, it's got to be tough in trying to get the resources to all these various places. You see a lot of red dots all over the place. Do the best you can in drinking that water and getting those liquids so that you can combat whatever you're combating when it comes to the heat. Coming up next, Wayne Griffin and his take on Liz Taylor.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. You will simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News. Uvalde's top school officials has recommended the firing of the school district police chief, who was central to the law enforcement response when a gunman killed two teachers and 19 students at an elementary school nearly 2 months ago. A special meeting will be held on Saturday, where the South Texas City School Board will hear from the school district's attorney about Superintendent Hall Harrell's recommendation to fire Chief Pete Arredondo, according to a statement. Arredondo has been accused by state officials of making several critical mistakes during the May 24th mass shooting at Robb Elementary School. A Massachusetts train catches on fire, forcing one passenger to jump into a river and several others to climb out of a window. No injuries were reported. This is USA Radio News. A salmonella outbreak has been linked to small turtles, according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. They have announced that so far 15 people have been sick across 11 states, with 5 requiring hospitalizations. The CDC stated that many of these outbreaks have been reported from people purchasing turtles from online stores. Interest rates are on the rise.
The president of the Euro Central Bank, Christine Lagarde, had previously signaled it would be increasing the rates in July and September as consumer prices kept surging. Reporting from Frankfurt, Germany, the institution had kept rates at historic lows, in fact in negative territory since 2014. Today's action calls for a 50 basis point increase. Yeah, that's a full 0.5%. The ECB's new anti-fragmentation tool may be put to the test, which is aimed at supporting those nations with big giant debts like Italy. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Prime.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
I am so excited to introduce you to Wayne Griffin. His book is called Elizabeth Taylor, My Celebrity Connection. And I can't tell you how much I love Elizabeth Taylor. So how exciting it is, one, that he really has this amazing connection that happened, because I think he was pretty brave in how he reached out. And just the stories about her. And I think even younger people can relate to some of those stories of Elizabeth Taylor. There was something magical about her. Wayne, thank you so much for doing this.
It's my pleasure, Kate. Thank you for having me on board and for your time today.
So what started your fascination with Elizabeth Taylor?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, and I think it goes back to me as a gay man in the 80s and sort of not having really parents that I sort of could come out to, and knowing what she meant to the gay community, I sort of connected. I connected to her. I wrote to her. I actually came out to her in a letter. I mean, that's where it all began. But, I mean, I had friends that had sent me postcards with pictures of her on and stuff like that previous to that. And so I'm like, well, who is this woman? She is just out of this world. I was just so mesmerized by her. And, you know, then I did the usual thing fans do, get all the movies and watch all the movies and wait for that first on-screen appearance to just see that magnificent woman appear on the screen. It was it was amazing.
Do you have a favorite Elizabeth Taylor movie, or no, you just like them all?
No, I don't like them all. No, there's some that aren't quite, you know, they don't meet the benchmark. But, you know, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? I love Cleopatra. I can get that out and watch that again and again and again. And just some of those one-liners in there are just a classic. Giants, Rain Tree County is a favorite of mine. I'm usually sometimes it depends too on my collection. I mean, what items do I have from those movies or that are associated to those movies will sometimes dictate to me what my favorites are.
In your book, you talk about that. Tell us some of what you have in your collection and how this came to be, how it went from PR people, I'll call them, assistants, sending you maybe something back, like, hey, thanks for your, interest in Elizabeth, to it becoming more personal.
Well, there was a lot of that going on. There was a lot of writing. I mean, I remember writing for about 4 years. The first letter I got back was from a secretary or a PR person, and I wasn't happy with that. I wanted that connection. So, eventually that did happen, and I was corresponding with Elizabeth directly. But, I've got things in my connection, in my collection that stories, for example, in my book that come from her childhood friend, Bruce Culverhouse, that had shared some stories about growing up in the Taylor house because her parents were employed by the Taylors as chauffeurs and the mother was a maid. So, Ruth grew up with Elizabeth. So there's some stories in there about that and how George Culverhouse was the very first person to teach Elizabeth Taylor to walk, which that's her first steps to stardom began with him. A picnic on Dick's River during Rangeria County is a picnic basket a lady used to go on the set and quite often Elizabeth and some of the other members would join them and sit on the bank of the river and have a picnic from this wonderful picnic basket and a blanket that was made 150 years ago by her great-grandmother or something, and there's other things where there's been lockets and things kept away in a bank safe and then, the person's passed away and handed it down through the family, and these were gifted things from Elizabeth that she'd actually given to people during filming or stuff like that because she was a very giving person,
Yeah, for you to have all this memorabilia and to be able to go and look at whatever it might be, do you feel like she's sort of still alive, that there's something about Elizabeth that you're connected more than the rest of us?
Yeah, there is that. There is that definitely that connection. And the good thing about it is sometimes if you can get an image or sometimes I get media coverage with her, like a cowboy hat she wore in 2009 to the Abbey Bar and Grill down the street from her home, coincidentally. She's in the wheelchair with the hat on. I mean, and I've got that hat and I can, in my book, for the very first time, I believe a biography or a book of this sort doesn't use QR codes, and I put QR codes through my book where we're talking about certain things. If she's won an Oscar for certain, for something, there's a QR code, and you can actually click on the QR code, and she transforms out of the pages and becomes alive. And there she is at the Oscars receiving an Oscar, or there she is in the wheelchair wearing the hat, And I get goosebumps thinking about it, and some of my friends go, oh, my God, I've got goosebumps about this. And I've shown them. I've said, look, well, there's a picture there. Now let's turn it into reality. Let's click on the QR code and bring her alive. And why not?
Why not? I agree with you. I think it's wonderful that you did that. Is there one story about Elizabeth that just really resonated with you, personal or professional, which I'm sure there's so many, but is there one that you can hear over and over again and that you put in your book?
I think one thing that resonates with me about her was her boss in business, her determination to not just be another actor, not just be a plaything for studios to do, and to show her sexuality and be who she really wanted to be. And, I feel also that because she lost her father quite young, that maybe that's why I was thinking this morning, why did she get married 8 times? I mean, who's going to do that? But, she loved people. And I think, minus the father figure earlier in her life, is probably one of the reasons why she wanted that man constantly throughout her life. And she wasn't one to sort of just have boyfriends here and there and everywhere. She was a loving person.
Who do you think her great love was? You mentioned the 8 marriages. Who was her great love?
Well, there was a toss-up in there between Richard Burton and Mike Todd, really. I mean, who's to say? I mean, if Mike Todd didn't, die in that plane crash in 1958 or whatever it was, that they would have stayed together a lot longer than they did. I mean, it's hard to know, but, the relationship with Richard, obviously, 10 years or so, and then the second marriage, so maybe Richard. I mean, apparently they're selling her letters to Richard Burton at the minute, so her love letters. And she was buried, apparently, with one of them. So I would say Richard Burton. I'd say they're up in heaven doing a sequel to Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
Which is my favorite movie, and I love that you brought that up. I could watch that over and over. She was brilliant in that movie.
Yeah, excellent.
I mean, just brilliant. Well, tell me more about the book and tell all of us more about the book. What else do you have in there?
Well, look, it's a biography. I mean, there's been about 64 biographies on Elizabeth Taylor, so we don't want to play the same old music. You still got to sort of tell the basic storyline about where she was born. And I mean, obviously, I've intertwined things from her childhood and obviously information I got from her childhood friends and stuff like that, and people that worked for her. So it's a general story of, you know, when she got married, when she acted in a certain movie, when she got sick, all that type of stuff's in there. But I think also it is in there is the it showcases also her willingness to be a part of a fanship with someone like myself. Well, she may have done exactly the same thing with lots of other people around the world, but to take time out of her day and respond to someone like me just shows another side of her. And then there's obviously the other side of it, which where I've interjected pieces of memorabilia. So we may be talking about, let's say the Bluebird in 1976, and there she is in a outfit going into the studio to film, and I've got that outfit, so you'll see that outfit on another page. So we're sort of blending the memorabilia through the story to bring it alive. And then, of course, you know, I've got the QR code to show it off, but I mean, I hope everyone else does.
Exactly, and you can get this book Barnes & Noble, Amazon.
Amazon, Barnes & Noble. There's, I've actually focused more on the American market, not so much here in Australia. So I think there's even 300 bookstores American-wide that will have the copy. And Elizabeth's going to attend the LA Festival of Books on the 23rd and 24th, and then she's going to be at the Miami Book Festival on the 19th to the 23rd of November. So She's still out there.
She's everywhere. So here's the thing. What was it like for you to write the book once you saw it? I mean, boom, there it is in your, we see it right behind you. It's beautiful. But once you get that copy, put it together, this has been such a big chunk of your life. What was that like?
It's a life's journey. It's taken me 10 years. It's like, I collected and collected for a long time, and I was getting sort of, my partner was going, you know, when are you going to stop this craziness and stop collecting all this stuff? This house is just a shrine to Elizabeth Taylor. I'm like, well, okay, I'm going to stop. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to write a book, and I'll put all the pieces in the book, and I'll tell a story, and then I'll stop collecting. That didn't happen. The collecting actually got worse. In 2010, I sent her a manuscript, a lovely satin-bound manuscript of the book. She read that. She got that. She sent me this beautiful comment or this beautiful card around, you know, how I had made her birthday so special and what a lovely tribute Lavender book it was. Then sort of 5 months later, she passed away. So she didn't actually get to see the book in its real form. So then sort of it's sort of come and gone over the years, and some people have done the wrong thing by it, and some people have done the right thing, and it's never been what I've wanted it to be. We've got to be, you know, as her number one fan that I was declared by her, I need to present it in a way that is fitting to the Queen of Hollywood. So now, and coincidentally, it was if she hadn't been in love, it would have been her 90th birthday this year. So what I did, I released it on her birthday. So in actual fact, I've done a whole big loop, because that letter that she wrote 10 years ago to say thank you for the lovely Lavender book on my birthday still applies 10 years later when I released the book on her birthday. So it's a bit goosebumpy.
It is goosebumpy. It's the perfect place to end this. We could talk and talk and talk, but what a tribute to Elizabeth Taylor, and what an amazing connection. You know, Elizabeth Taylor, my celebrity connection, that is a very big connection. Well-written book, excellent job, and it was great speaking with you.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you for having me, and you know, thank you for keeping the legacy of this wonderful woman alive.
Wayne Griffin, thank you so much.
Thank you.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast from Sunny Bay.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
So I'm going to take you to a place where you can meet a really interesting man who's on this great journey, and he's going to explain it to you. The name of his book is Christina's Heifer. His name is Ian James. He's the author of the book. Ian, thanks for coming on.
Hi, thanks, Kay.
So the road to writing Christina's Heifer, and there's a real interesting trail here as we go forward, but what made you write this book?
I'd been attacked online. A family member bullied me and tried to sully my name and defame me to around new people that I was trying to meet, and I was just so infuriated, and I got aggressive and angry and violent, and then I refocused that into writing Christina's Heifer.
And tell everybody what that's about.
Christina's Heifer, it's about a young cow sitting in a paddock and being bored and lonely and just getting engrossed in social media and the online world and loving it, but then realizing that she's missing out on the real world with all her cow friends, and they don't know who she is because she's weird now.
They don't know who she is because she's weird now.
Wow. That's right.
And what were you picturing when you were putting this story together?
I actually saw an image online, but unfortunately it's more like sort of young adult imagery. So,
right.
But yeah, if you can imagine if Kim Kardashian was morphed into a Yeah, a nice little cow.
Wow, wow, that's funny. And when people read this book, and who's this book for, and when they read it, what do you hope they come away with?
Well, it's for children, for entertainment. It's to give them a good, wholesome guideline in healthier living rather than just focused on the online agenda. And also it's for the family so that when they're reading it to the children, they get a bit of tongue-in-cheek joy of the adult humor in there as well. Not adult humor, but mature humor.
And the idea is this is just the first one. You have seven others to give, seven altogether. Explain the significance of the seven.
Yes, well, Christina's heifer is all about her envy, and what she has to learn is gratitude. So that's one of the seven deadly sins. And so I've decided to transfer that into a more positive outlook because children don't need to hear the word deadly or sin. So it's the seven kindly grins, the positive take on our worst nightmares.
Ooh, the positive take on our worst nightmares. And it is interesting. It's seven kindly grins is really, really interesting. Because for children, I would imagine, as you develop this, they would just be enthralled to understand as you use the characters to explain what that means. How did you come up with this?
I'm an author. It's my mind. It works that way. I don't know. message from God, perhaps. I do sometimes feel I don't write from within. It comes from external. I will write down a trauma. I will write a friend something that I'm feeling, and then I'll look at it and think, oh, I never realized that, but that is actually true. So, yeah.
Wow.
It helps. It helps.
Fascinating. And when you do sit down and write, do you have a routine? Sometimes people have a routine. I have to get up in the morning and it just pours out of me. Or when the mood strikes me, I just sort of go for it.
I've been advised on several courses that I've taken to try and become an author. And, yeah, you're meant to set up your studio and it'd be good to have a routine. And it would. I've tried to do that, but I don't really have a routine-focused mind. So when it comes to me, be it 2 a.m. or lunchtime, I sit down or I'll notate it on my phone. I find my best inspiration comes from when I walk in my 10-acre property and engage with nature. And I'm refreshed, I'm renewed, and I can
like
come
that.
Back and write things.
Yeah, you're inspired by nature.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
Because you're out there and your mind is opened up as you're walking or doing whatever it is that you're, you know, doing.
Yeah. Yeah. In Christina's heifer, she has a mentor that tells her the better sides of life. And I've coined him Fred Finch, a little tiny finch bird. I've got loads of those around my house, and there's the inspiration for that character.
Yeah, oh yeah. We're speaking with Ian James, and the name of the book is Christina's Heifer, and we know that there's six others to come as we're talking about this. Is it cathartic or rewarding, or what does it feel like for you to actually know, hey, I have a book and I have others coming?
I feel very proud. And yes, it's cathartic when I write the trauma based stuff. And it's fun, you know. Sorry, I find myself funny.
That's good. You're allowed to find yourself funny, and then that is poured into what you're doing. So ultimately,
yeah.
That's really cool. And then, of course, coming up, when you have, especially with children's books, coming up with names and coming up with what you're using, an animal or whatever else it is that you're using, well, as you go through, are there any kind of rules for what you're going to do with the other six books? Are you going to look at animals as characters, or who knows?
Yeah, I think children engage well with animals, and they can tell a human story without being a human. So, I do have characters, animals doing that. I loved animals and creatures as a child. So the idea of a cane toad telling me the good values of life or to imagine a cane toad as a greedy thing is not a difficult thing to imagine. So, yeah, I think animals and things convey the story well.
What would you like people to know about you?
That I'm a survivor. That I've been to hell and back, and you can too.
Wow, what a wonderful sentiment that you can too, because you know, Ian, there's so many people that walk around with heavy, heavy hearts and are dealing with so much and they can't handle it. It's so tough.
Exactly. Yeah. I found refuge in online domestic violence sites and things when I was going through different periods. And so I engaged with those when I was feeling better and I was able to help other people struggling with the same thing. And that was so rewarding. That also made you realize you're not alone. You're not dealing with this alone, even though you are physically alone, perhaps. You're not dealing with this on your own. There are other people out there, and there are other people that can help you.
And as you say that, it makes me think, as you're talking to me, and of course we have an American audience and a global audience, and the world is global now.
Yes. Very focused.
Yeah, and so I think the interesting part of what you're tackling with children's books, I mean, children really in any world can understand that because they understand animals.
They do. Yeah, they relate to them. Humans see two eyes and a mouth and they say, that's a face.
Right.
And they engage with it.
Right, and they understand that. So yeah. We also want to tell people that you have another mission. When people buy your book, what else is going to happen?
Well, yes, I hate war, and Putin's war at the moment against Ukraine is very distressing for me, and I watch it constantly just to be there with them in solidarity and to try and help in any way I can. And, yeah, I went for a walk in my backyard feeling a little low, and I suddenly felt I got a message from beyond to say, publish your book in Ukrainian so that the children of Ukraine have something bright and happy to hope for. So I want to be able to say to every parent that buys my book that an identical Ukrainian copy is going to a child in a shelter somewhere in Ukraine, and they'll be reading it with you.
Wow, how wonderful. Perfect place to end this. Ian James, Christina's Heifer. You'll be able to get that on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And we finish this show with a couple of parting shots, if you will, sort of law and order for real and in real life and in real time. First of all, Law and Order, the show. Boy, I used to be such a big fan. I just watched it constantly. I had to sort of pull myself away from it when I was working in New York at WFAN. In between, when we were done shows, we would there was an engineer, we would sit there and we'd watch some of the Law and Orders. Anyway, a 31-year-old man who was working for the production crew of the show Law and Order organized crime version was shot and killed as he saved parking spots early Tuesday morning. That's what the cops are saying in New York. He was identified as Johnny Pizarro of Queens. He was contracted to do parking enforcement for the production company. He was just sitting in the car there in Brooklyn when somebody went by, an unknown assailant, opened the door to the car, fired a weapon, hitting his neck and head. It happened at 5 o'clock in the morning. He ran off when the emergency responders rushed to try to get him to a nearby hospital, but he couldn't be saved. So NBC and Universal TV, of course, they produced the series. They said they were terribly sad and shocked that one of the crew members was the victim of a crime early that morning, had died as a result, and they're working with law enforcement to continue to investigate. Like I said, wow, how about that? Doing parking enforcement, and that's what happens to him. Geez, thanks so much to all of you for listening to the show. Remember to make it count, everybody.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pouty Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.